Had a little listen to his podcast, huh?
Dude, it's educational. And besides, I've been wanting to listen to this one.
Welcome to Idling in the Impala, a podcast by and for lovers, a supernatural, and the fan fiction it inspires. Before we begin, just want to remind you to like, subscribe, follow wherever you listen to us so you don't miss any episodes or bonus content. If you love what we do and want an easy way to show your support, please consider leaving us a positive all the stars rating on your favorite listening platform. It helps SPN and fanfic lovers find us and share in the fun. I'm Sandra.
I'm Casey. And remember, all the stars, guys, like five of them. 5 stars, we're awesome. Cool. Right, good. Now that we've got that squared away, I don't know, just put that in the intro. Just be like, we're awesome, give us 5 stars. And I'll subside it. Okay, I'm waffling.
All the stars. I did positive all the stars rating. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, Sandra is in a mood today. She's fucking done with me. She's done with me. That's what it is. She's had to like deal with me fucking around on Discord, and now she's like fed up with you today. Right. No. I might be waffling because look, it's another ranking episode. I'm not even fucking sorry about it at this point. It's another ranking episode, but it could be the last one. It isn't, but it could
be. No, it's not going to be the last one. What are you kidding? No.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I've been working up to like ranking rehab. Have you not been working up to, have you not been doing the steps? Like, they sent out a very specific email.
Well,
you've not been following the steps.
No, because I feel like we're just going to slip back anyway. So I'm just like, no, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to fully commit yet, because something will come up and one of us will say, you know what? We should rank that.
Yeah. It doesn't help that we already have things on the list to rank. Mm-hmm. So yeah, anyway, that's all fucking besides the point, right? We started a trilogy and by God, we'll see it through. So this is ranking the tops and bottoms by season of seasons 11 to 15. This is the final go. We completed the trilogy and then maybe we'll leave it there, but we probably won't. But that's irrelevant. That's a problem of future Casey and Sandra. Not today, Casey and Sandra. So Sandra very professionally listened to the last episode where I went first. So it's her turn to go first. Sue, with starting off at season 11, and we're starting with the bottoms, and we always start with the bottoms, but I always write mine top bottom, so I always have to read backwards. Irrelevant. That's my problem, that's your problem. Sandra, what is your bottom episode of season 11?
So I guess we should also say that what we decided way back when we started this other iteration of rankings was that when we did our first like season 1 to 5 top tens, top bottoms, like top 10 tops, top 10 bottoms. I don't even know what a bottom and a top is anymore.
Can we all agree? Can we agree that the number one bottom would be Huey from The Boys?
Okay, yes, we can agree on that.
Raw dog me, I'm a bottom. In so the bright
top bottom,
pink.
Top bottom and the bottom top, like I was going to say something else, but it's a South Park reference and it probably wouldn't go well, so I'm not going to do that.
Alrighty.
Yeah, but so whatever was our very tippy top or very tippy top Huey. Bottom.
Whatever was our...
We weren't going to include, we could not use. So yes. For season 11, for me, just to preface, my top episode for that was Baby. So I can't include that in my season 11 stuff. So for my bottom, my worst of the worst for season 11 was The Chitters. And that's episode 19. And so my notes were, there were some stinkers. There's stinkers in every season. This was, I think, a hard one for me because there were quite a few like Monster of the Weeks that I really didn't like in this season. And I like the introduction of the gay hunting couple. You know, the characters aren't really what made the episode, like, you know, at the bottom of the list for me. It was just kind of like, there was a lot of juvenile humor. I feel like I don't even technically remember the whole premise, but there was like this sort of like the Chitters were just like wanting to like breed and stuff like
the
that.
Fuck.
It was, yeah. And I don't know. I do like some juvenile humor on occasion. I don't like when they lean into it so hard that like Dean turns into like a little teenage
boy,
like for a majority of it. And I can't say he did it for the majority of it. I just didn't really appreciate it. And maybe too, because The Chitters, I think, reminds me of cicadas and stuff like that. Like maybe that was also a thing that I just didn't probably like particularly like about the monsters. But yeah, that aside, that was like, no, not really gonna, not really gonna, it's not do
vibing
that
with that one.
And my top, which, okay, I don't know what was wrong with me because it was not in my top tens at all. And I don't know why, but wow, it was probably because there were so many really, like, everything was vying for that list. But for season 11, I made my top just my imagination, which was episode 8.
Ooh, yeah.
So again, it was just like Sully, I love that character. The episode was just, I thought, really great, like across the board, like Sam's storyline, Sam's backstory, the flashback, kind of tying things in, like almost retconning a little bit, but in like, I think, a good way, mm-hmm, and exploring his uncertainty, especially about like what he has to do in this season or what he thinks he needs to do. Kind of going back to that same theme again that you saw from very, you know, like a lot of the first seasons where I just, you know, he's putting a lot of things on himself that he needs to do. And I think you get back into Dean's like, well, you probably can't do that or you shouldn't do that. And so that kind of thing. And giving him somebody to back him up and believe in him, even though it doesn't go well, you know, still like having that support system that I think he was really didn't have growing up in certain ways. Not that Dean wasn't supportive, but you know what I mean? It's just like, it's this stuff that you take on when you're little doesn't really ever go away. I think it just kind of like, it's you're a big kid, you know, and you're kind of always uncertain and question and all of those things. And I like that. And it's just, it's so funny. There's so many funny scenes in it too, that it was a good balance. I think when that's an exploration of Supernatural doing things right, when they like kind of hit on all points situation. So yeah, that was mine.
Yeah, good. It's interesting actually that me and you are very close. We're very close. And it is just the way we ranked the last time that makes us different. So my bottom is also the Chitters or the Chitters. Not because I remember it being a really bad episode, but I hate that fucking noise. Like it's there because it, like, it's one of the very few Supernatural episodes that actually creep me out. Now, we don't have cicadas here in the UK, but have you seen the Hellraiser movies?
I haven't, because I don't like the pinhead person.
Oh, yeah. Doug Bradley's so cool. Why are you like this? Okay, well,
that's when my body horror stuff gets into play. I don't like piercings
That's fair. Okay. Well, one of the Cenobites didn't last very long in the overall series, but came back, like the same concept came back in various iterations. It was called the Chatterer, and its teeth made that noise. And then there was like a Chatterer beast as well. Then its teeth made that noise. Oh God, I hate it. I'm doing like artist flappy hands right now. I hate it so much. Like, it's a full neck in version of cringe. I hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. So Chitterers actually did make my like bottom 10 last time. For exactly the same reason. Like, it's not a bad episode. Oh, the noise. So my top last time was from season 12, Keep Calm and Carry It On. So obviously I can't use that in the next round. But if it hadn't have been that, and that's the tortured Sam scene, that's the only reason. If it hadn't have been that, it would have been this one. And then I wouldn't have been able to use this one. And then I also would have picked Just My Imagination.
Okay.
Because of the way it shook out, my top of season 11 is Baby, because I didn't use it last time. I struggled though, because I was like, oh fuck, Just My Imagination is such a good episode, but it couldn't be anything other than the magical fucking TARDIS backseat, you know, the driving mont. Oh God, I love that episode so much.
Yeah. I really think it's a perfect episode, because I think it says so much about, like, if you wanted somebody who didn't know anything about the show, like, I would actually say not even start with like season, like anything from the first few seasons. I might say, just watch this episode, you know, and see if you vibe with the characters, and like, you don't really need to know a ton about what's going on really. Like, there's a monster, stuff like that. And then if that gets your attention, I almost feel like start at the beginning, And because I don't think it gives a ton of stuff away either, like about you kind of like, you know, there's conflict, you know, there's family stuff, they talk and all that, but it's just about Sam and Dean as a whole and baby. And those, you know, like, I mean, you know, I think those three things, you know, really kind of are what the show started on foundationally. And I think that's kind of like a good here. See if you like these guys. If you do, start watching the show, you know, see how that goes with you. It's just, it's perfect. I'm still amazed because we talk a lot about towards the final seasons. And I've read articles where people are like, you know, this is what makes Supernatural great, when they can do an episode like this. And it's almost like it's forgiving them for all of the other stuff they might mess up, you know, because you get these sort of gems that you just like, I could watch this on a loop. Like, I know when it comes up again in the rewatch, and I think I've said this before, Ted and I are going to watch the episode and then we're going to watch it with the commentary. Like, that's what we're going to do. Like, it's going to be, going to be part of
it. Who does the commentary for that one?
It's the writer, Robbie Thompson, and it's the director, Thomas J. Wright. But the stories and the stuff that they talk about, I think, are so important. And Robbie Thompson, to me, is one of those writers where he really loves the show. And you could tell that, you know, like when he writes for it. So I really appreciated that. And it's great just to hear, you know, all the little like bits and pieces, you know, about like the actors together and like how they had to frame a shot, or like, you know, what Jensen was doing behind the scenes.
See, I like kind of when I don't really listen to things with commentary on them that often, but when I do, I like the actors' commentary because that's what I want to hear. I want to hear like, what were you thinking when you did this scene? Or, you know, you were trying to do this scene with Jared's foot on your balls, or what? Like, I like that.
There's only a couple with Jared and Jensen. Aww. And I will say it's nice to hear them, but sometimes I feel like they go off the rails a lot.
I like that.
And I'm almost like, but oh, they might go right past a scene. And I'm like, but I wanted to know what was going on in that scene. You know, it's like, they don't kind of like do that as much.
They don't hit the notes you like.
Yeah.
Or you necessarily. No, I think I've said it before, but the extended director's cut special editions of The Lord of the Rings, they have like, I think it's like three different commentary tracks you can choose on. So you can have like Pete Jackson and Fran Walsh. As the directors, I think you can have like maybe something from the production team, but you can have the actors. And it's not like, you know, you don't have like fucking Ian Holm as Bilbo talking over the Council of Elrond. It's the actors that are in the scene. So the ones that stick out in my mind primarily are Don Monaghan and Billy Boyd narrating over like Merry and Pippin scenes. You can watch the whole like fucking 12 hours of the trilogy with actor commentary, and it's great. And then they didn't do that for The Hobbit. And I will die mad about this because I want to know what the dwarves were thinking when they were recording. Yeah. I mean, the behind the scenes stuff for The Hobbit is very different from the behind the scenes, because they had like a proper like behind the scenes kind of like constantly running video. So it's much more in depth. Whereas for the Lord of the Rings, it was kind of like actors sat in like interview, like in studios being like interviewed and stuff. Whereas the behind the scenes for The Hobbit, like you'd see them messing around on set and stuff. So it's very different. But also, I really want it. I want the actor narration. So I far prefer, probably because I don't understand and have much interest in like direction and production. And
yeah, no, I get that.
Whereas I just really know,
like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you know stuff about like writers and directors. And I'm like, who, what, no, what?
Yeah. Well, I will say like there's two commentaries that Jared and Jensen do that I think are really good. In My Time of Dying, the season premiere of two, because it's with the director, Kim Manners, and I think Eric Kripke. But what's great is that, you know, they talk about like the Ouija board scene, and they talk about like the cup at the end, and like all these little things that you could, it's getting that discussion with, you know, everybody, like sort of like a bunch of different people, like, you know, that were responsible for it. And the other one is Slash Fiction. That one's really good because it's funny because I think they focus a little bit more on stuff where I think the very first one was like Phantom Traveler that they did. And they're still little. they're kind of new to, like, you know, babies, commentary. Yeah. So, I mean, I would love it if they would do more of them, but they just didn't, you know what I mean? Like, they just didn't. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it probably would have been nice for them to do just one episode every season, you know, as part of, like, the extras, but it just didn't mm-hmm. happen. Cause then I'm sure I'd say, oh, this was a really great one, or this wasn't. But I think another one Jensen does, but he does it with Daniil, I think, when she shows up in season 13. And
oh yeah,
you know, again, like, it's fun to listen to them as husband and wife, like,
together. You know, I can't even fucking remember where I was. I might have been on Instagram. I'm usually on Instagram when I see Supernatural clips, but it was Jensen. He's on stage at a con and he's on his own. And he's talking about, he's like, this one actress, Danielle Harris, I'd really like to work with her again. Like, we have really great chemistry. And I think that's really important, you know, as an actor to have great chemistry. He, like, turns off to the side and he goes, right, honey? And then he comes back and he goes, she's so red. And it's all obviously they're either dating or married. I'm not 100% sure on the timeline. Mm-hmm. But I fully love the way he talks about her. Like, she's just... Because he did it quite a lot, especially like early on. And he's like, oh, this actress, Danielle Harris. And then you look back at it and like, they've been married for like 13 years. That's cute as fuck. I love it so much.
Yeah, it's cute. It's cute to listen to them and like low-key bicker to each other.
Yeah. You don't seem to get that too much from Jen and Jared. But I think Jared, he never tries to play it off as cool. He's not like, I'm the luckiest son of a bitch on the planet. I am lucky she allows me to be in her fucking presence, never mind marry and have children and love her. Which, you know, he just can't play cool the same way Jensen can.
Oh, God.
I just think it's so fucking cute, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it Aww. Is. Oh, tangent. Okay.
Tangent. So, we love it. We love a tangent.
Reeling it back. So I guess we're going to do season 12. Season 12 next. Mm-hmm.
That comes after 11, yes.
Yes, it does come after 11. I'm just doing another quick thing to see if anything else. Yeah, there were a couple. Okay, so there were two, again, two that made it in my list before that I didn't even think about this one. So bottom for this one, season 12, The Foundry, episode 3. Mm-hmm. Mary comes back from the dead only to leave the boys 2 episodes later. Look, I get it. She's going through a lot of shit, but I don't ever want to see my boys abandoned and in that much pain due to the actions of their parents. So it's that last scene. It just really upsets me. So yeah, that's my bottom. And then my top for season 12 is going to be Who We Are. And that's episode 22. And it's when Dean finally gets to use the grenade launcher. No, but seriously, it's kind of amazing how much plot progression occurs in this episode. The writers are definitely probably scrambling to tie up a lot of loose ends before the last episode of the season. But again, I feel like it's written well, and you've got Dean confronting Mary in a dream state in order to save her, and Sam taking over the leadership role to defeat those pesky British men of letters. So I'm in.
Rude. My people.
Yes. Your people.
I'm kidding.
But you don't like those people either.
I don't like the British men of letters. They are a terrible, terrible example of my culture. Mm-hmm. Terrible,
We did an episode on that.
We did a whole episode on that. That's Sandra's way of going, we've talked about this, shut up. Now, actually, Casey coming in with a little bit of a tidbit. The goggles were not scripted. The goggles were because Jared and Jensen were actually getting like bits of like... Oh, got it. Debris, let's say, like in their eyes. And they were like,
they wouldn't have like had them wear that. Yeah, that's just
because Sam and Dean don't get to wear bee suits. They're in regular clothes because Sam and Dean don't get to wear that kind of shit.
I'm glad they found the goggles in there.
I have a lot of feelings about that episode, mostly about the fact that the air goes out and they're all sweaty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I figured you'd like that too. Like and I think they literally have to be down to one shirt, which is nice. Also,
they're like naked Winchesters by the end of it. It's great.
Actually, it's not the end of it. So that's the thing. You really have to stop and think. There's so much that happens in this episode. Like, they are trapped in the beginning. They are trapped in the bunker. By the end of it, they're at British. Like, Sam's at the Men of Letters compound doing his shit. Dean's back at the bunker with Mary to kind of like do the whole dream state thing. Ketch comes in, all that, like all this stuff kind of happens. There's a lot of busy occurs. It's busy. I really do love the there's that heartbreaking scene with Dean in the dream with his mom that just kind of like always just, I'm just like riveted by, it's like those, I don't know, I consider them nightmares when you're trying to get through to somebody and you have a dream where you're like, you're yelling at them and they are just not, they're just not paying any attention to you. They're just not feeling anything. And it's just like, you just want to like shake them, and even shaking them isn't doing it.
I hate that episode. Well, I love it and hate it. I hate the bunker scenes. I love the bunker scenes. I hate the rest of it. Okay, so this is getting weird, and we're going to have to call this episode "My Bottom Is Your Bottom?" question mark. Because my bottom for season 12 is also the Foundry, because fucking Mary fucking Winchester. Sandra was like really articulate about it, and I'm just like, oh, bitch, dying of fire. I fucking hate. That was, like, plot-wise, probably quite a good, like, plot device. Because it kept up, you know, just in case they were like, hey, you know, we're running low on, like, conflict for the boys. We should probably, like, you know, like, it's perfect for that. I hate it. I hate every fucking scene that she's in. And, like, this is nothing against Sam Smith. She's, like, a great actress, actor, but whatever. But this is nothing against Sam Smith. But I fucking detest Mary Winchester. We did a whole episode on it. Like, I fucking hate her. She is just nothing but a stick. Hate. So, yes, also my bottom was the Foundry. I actually found it quite difficult to pick a top for season 12. And looking back at my nothing from season 12 made it into my top. No, okay. That's not true. That's not true. My top was season 12. But that's because it's an accent in a pantsuit scene. That is not representative of the season as a whole. That is not representative. I had a few 12s in the bottom, though, regarding Dean, which I'm... See, that could have easily been my bottom, but Mary fucking Winchester. The British invasion, fucking Men of Letters. The Foundry, obviously, was in the bottom last time. So, yeah, I struggled. I did struggle. And I couldn't use Keep Calm and Carry On because I'd used it before. So my top is Rock Never Dies. It's not a great episode.
Okay.
It's got good costume in it. Give me the boys in leather fucking jackets. And also, like, I'm a bit of a sucker for like an aging rocker. not like in an attraction sense, but I'm like, I don't know, some rock stars grow old and look like old. Mm-hmm. You know, some are like, I am an old man and I am doing what, like, I'm dealing with that. Like, the members of Iron Maiden don't still fucking dress up in like spandex and shit. They're like, we're old now and we dress more appropriately. Like, they still dress up, but they're not like, you look at Maiden in the 80s and they're all wearing fucking like sleeveless tops, fucking spandex pants.
Yeah.
But now they're just like jeans and t-shirts, you know, they're like still fancy, but not the same. And then you look at someone like Alice Cooper, for example, and he's like old and wrinkly and still putting on eyeliner. I respect the hustle, is my point, you know? I respect the hustle to go, I'm old and I don't care. So Vince Vincenti. That Lucifer inhabits, and he's still, like, he's kind of like old and wrinkly. Not like old, but like older. But he's still rocking the eyeliner and the leather jacket, and he's like, I'll fucking rock till I die. I respect the hustle, is all I'm saying. I respect the hustle. And also, leather jackets, shades, black shirts. Yes, please. So, not a great season overall for me personally.
It was tough. It was a tough fucking season.
Mary fucking Winchester. You know, and when it wasn't Mary fucking Winchester, it was the British Men of Frigging Letters giving America yet another terrible look into my country. Yeah, not a great season, but we respect the hustle of aging rockers and we respect the boys in leather jackets. And I still maintain accent in a pantsuit is the best thing about season 12, and I'm mad that I couldn't use it twice.
No, but fair. All good reasons to like an episode, I think. I think my bottom was for season 12 in the running last time was All Along the Watchtower, mainly because of Crowley dying. We get into that a lot with, you know, the characters and how they're treated. So that was like my thing too. For when I looked at it, I was like, okay, this is different. So season 13. So my bottom is Patience, episode 3. Don't bring back one of the most iconic characters on Supernatural.
Ooh.
Only appeared in one episode in season 1, 12 years prior. just to kill her 5 minutes into the storyline. I hate
this.
Justice for Missouri Mosley. So it's not even a bad episode. It's just the fact that they did the thing that why did you do the thing? Like,
yeah.
And I also don't like that even though we never see her, I think headcanon wise wanted to think that they occasionally kept in touch, but I don't think you get that feeling when you, I don't know, like when Dean sees her, I don't know if you get the feeling that they really were like maybe as in touch as say like maybe he was with Jody. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that kind of a feeling. And I'm like, I wanted that, you know, even if they didn't show it, I wanted that to be where she was still somebody kind of like how like you heard the name Garth before you saw Garth. You know what I mean? So like you could have like still had her be in the background. But, you know, it can be our headcanon that still did happen to some extent. But I don't know. I really like that character a lot from season one. And I think there was a lot of opportunity for the boys to have almost like another mom figure. And to know that they just kind of didn't do that is upsetting. And then, you know, she just got shanked by a wraith just like, you know, did her in. And I know she probably died. I don't know if you could say proudly, but like, you know, she sacrificed herself, you know, kind of a situation for a purpose, I think she thought, but I didn't like it. So that was my bottom. My top, which I'm sure is going to be Casey's bottom, is Scooby Natural. It's just episode 16, but I don't know because I didn't look. But sorry, Casey.
It is 16.
My nostalgia and love of Excited Dean wins out. So that was my top.
That's fine. No, it's fine.
Won't talk any more about it because I don't talk about it in detail. So
we have discussed Scooby Natural in detail. So to the surprise of fucking nobody, my bottom is in fact Scooby Natural. I don't know, man. I just, oh God, we discussed it so much. Like, it's so dumb. I hate it. I know. I'm sorry. You're allowed. I'm too young for the Scooby-Doo. It just gives me so much cringe. I hate it so much. I'm sorry.
You know what I kind of like too about it is that like,
you like it because I don't like it now, don't you? It's like fucking fan fiction now.
No, I think it's funny too because like in one spot, like Sam is giving Dean such a hard time and then all of a sudden like Sam whips out like something and he's like, and Dean's like, ha, I knew you. We do. Oh. And I know you don't. I get it. It's not your time. It's not your nostalgia. And I totally understand that. This is me just full in, like, I'm in it with Dean, like, for it. Like, it's just like,
that's totally fair.
It would be one of those things, like, if I was little, I would have loved to have, like, I could probably imagine myself, like, going into a Scooby-Doo cartoon. You know, it's like, it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
When you're little, you do. So, yeah.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I will allow this. So now we can either call this your top is my bottom, or we can call this your bottom is my bottom. I can't remember Huey's fucking last name from The Boys. Or it's just now on the bottom of everything.
Is it Campbell?
It might be Campbell, you know.
Is his last name Campbell? Like,
I don't know, because whenever Campbell? I think of it, I think of Frenchie calling him Petit Huey. So
hold on, now I gotta look it up.
I don't fucking remember. But I'm from like, now on, the bottomiest bottom ever.
Okay.
Is Huey. I think it is Campbell, you know.
It is. Wait a minute. It is Huey Campbell. Kripke. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Oh man.
We see you.
All right, go ahead. So what is your top?
Someone get Kripke on the line. We see you, Eric. We see you. So my top, again, kind of struggled with this one a little bit. So this one made my top the last time, and the only other season 13 episode that made the top was Let the Good Times Roll, but that's purely because of the scene of Michael Dean with the wings at the end.
Okay.
Not for anything. Like, I don't like that plot line. But the visual is fucking badass, you know? I'm a big fan of visuals. I'm a big fan of visuals. So my top is the Scorpion and the Frog again.
Oh, okay. I was debating about that one too. Yeah.
It was number, I just like Smash and Grab really make me laugh. I'm sorry. And Jensen's like, I don't call it Jensen's overacting or Dean's overacting.
It's Dean's overacting. It really is.
What if there's a spider in there? Yeah. The fucking, and then it's just a little pin, but like, it really makes me laugh every time. And I can't remember if the girl is Smash or if she's Grab, but she's such a great character as well. And she wears really, really cool boots. really cool boots.
Mm-hmm.
So remind me, I want to talk to you about shoes after we're done.
Okay. Okay. You like shoes?
All right.
Shoes. Okay.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, I just, it makes me laugh. The Sam and Dean, like, pushing the guy through the, like, trapped dungeon thing. And that just,
it's just a fun caper, you know, again,
it's
like,
a good episode.
And, you know, it doesn't have to be like the best of the best of the best. It's just, it's nice to have something that's just kind of like, okay, we're going this way now. You know, we're zigging here. We know there's all this other stuff that has to get taken care of, but it's a good monster of the week, I think, for me.
Yeah.
I do like that one a lot too. It's a little different. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. But I do think it would not have been the same had Dean not made those acting choices about Dean. Had Jensen not made those acting choices about Dean. You know, I think Jared, was like, how Jared, fun Jared about this.
Sam in that too. It's like, you know, they kind of are both like leaning into it a little bit more, like, you know, because they're, it's not their usual thing. And I think it's fun. Like they both decide, you know, they both look at each other and decide, yeah, we're going to duct tape this dude to a chair.
It's a movie reference, and they both just say the movie at each other, but I don't can't remember
it's
what movie
Indiana
it is.
Jones, I think. It's the Indiana Jones reference, I think.
Was it? I don't know what it is.
I think it is.
My brain is coughing up single white female, but it's definitely not that.
I think it's Indiana Jones, I think, but I
let us know.
Wrong. Yeah.
Let us know in the comments below. Is it an Indiana Jones reference? Do you remember what movie it is Sam and Dean are mimicking when they duct tape the guy to the wheelie chair and push him through the trap room? Because we don't.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, alrighty. Season 14, Sandra.
Season 14. So my bottom is Absence, and that's episode 18. It's the episode immediately following Jack killing Mary.
The best episode was right there, mate.
They're lost. They're angry. They're in pain. I don't like it. You know, Dean's getting on Cass, and like everybody's angry with each other. Rowena, I think, gets roped into it too. And it's like, she's, you know, it's like, oh my God. And the episode right before game night, a lot of stuff happens in that episode too. I just feel like this is when we get into, everybody realizes, oh, we only have so many episodes left. We got to do all this stuff. Sometimes I think they do it well. Sometimes they don't do it well at all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for me, it was Absence. They're both crying in this. It's just, it's just not good. It's just not a fun.
Babies.
So
babies.
That's my bottom.
That's fair. I love that.
My top is actually, this one came in number two out of my all time when I did my top 10 tops for this. So it's Nihilism, episode 10.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote, grr. This was difficult because it was kind of neck and neck with Mint Condition for me as I was trying to figure out what I was going to make for my top for season 14. But Jensen hopping over the bar counter probably eked it out just a smidge ahead.
Just a little bit.
Just
a
little bit.
Yeah.
I loved Jensen chewing scenery as Michael. And then Dean locked away in his happy Rocky Bars place. And also the end scene, like you kind of forget, but like the end scene with Dean and Billy is like pretty quiet, I think, compared to the rest of it, but it's very weighty. You know, you realize he sees something in this book and you're like, what the fuck does he have to do? And he also looks really good at the end.
That's fair.
I think he's in a Henley or something. I don't know what it is about him in a Henley or whatever, but again, that might be the closest to like one layer. He's probably wearing a layer underneath fucking Dean and his multi-layers, but I'm going to choose to think not. But yeah, it's just really good. Pamela comes back. They do the whole like Groundhog Day thing.
Amazing blooper. Amazing.
I know,
blooper.
You and the blooper. But for
fucking
me,
it's just, it really makes me
I know it does. But I just like the whole premise of it, you know, and then like Sam's got to throw in Poughkeepsie to you know, and like just the fact that then you realize Dean's going to now have to every second of every minute of every day, he's going to have to physically will himself to make sure he keeps Michael locked away. All that stuff that's going on in there. Again, this is a very, very busy scene. And you start out with Michael, you know, in the Nakatomi, like the Die Hard reference, have him
Nakatomi Plaza,
have him in there. And then a lot happens. But this is like done really well. It's just boom, 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 boom. There's so much stuff. There's so many characters interacting with each other. And it's just fun. I love seeing Jensen as Michael in this one particular episode. He's so sassy. Not Dean sassy. It's Michael sassy. It's totally Michael different. Sassy. And it's totally great. So yeah, that's my top.
I do like that episode. I do. I will watch Jensen fucking one-handed jump over a bar all day long, twice on a Sunday. I really will. I do.
Somebody like have that on repeat. Tell a person if there's like a video where you
is there
just
a GIF
watch
of that? Make a GIF. Somebody hit us up with the GIFs.
Share that, please.
But no, I would be lying if I didn't admit that my favorite part of that episode is the bloopers. Mm-hmm. And it's not even the bloopers. It's the fact that the only person that cracks up is the actress who plays Pamela. Jensen and Misha just like, fucking again? And she just absolutely loses it. It just really makes, no, that's not true, because God, I can't remember if it's Misha putting his fingers in Jared's ears or the other way around. But like somebody's fucking with somebody else as well. Mm. But there's just, I need new underwear. Just. Look, it just cracks me up, man. It's the way Jensen's just like, fucking really.
This is why we're going to do a bloopers episode at some point soon. This is
we
why
were
going to, yeah we're going
we were
to.
Meant to we were meant to record a bloopers episode this weekend, but then after I'd done my tops and bottoms, I was like, I'm gonna have to watch every blooper reel, like
pick
my favorites.
It's horrible.
Like match them up to the episodes they come from, and there's like 15 seasons and the blooper reels are like 10-15 minutes ago.
That is a lot. Yeah,
it's gonna be a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. Because but I can't just go by the ones that I remember, because when I watch the blooper reels I'm like, oh, I forgot that, you know.
I think somebody's put them all together on YouTube. Maybe we just have to watch that might be helpful. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah,
maybe. See, I could do the legwork and match them up, or I could just force Sandra to get on Discord with me for a couple of hours and she can tell me what episodes they come from, and I could write that down and then go from there. We'll see. Mm-hmm. whether Carly prepared to do the work or Carly lazy. Casey, I can't remember my own fucking name. We'll see which one of the two wolves inside me wins out when it comes to actually prepping for a blooper.
It's episode, because but. this idea has been around for so long. That's why you're getting confused. Yeah. We have this way back in our list. Yeah. Way back.
It is. Okay. So my season 14, my bottom is, I'm going to take a stab at how to pronounce this, Byzantium. Again, nothing particularly wrong with the episode. It is the setup for 15, 18 and the divide that has caused within the fandom and the battle lines that have been drawn and the way that it really has literally almost split the fandom in half. I just think, oh, you know, I wish 15-18 hadn't happened like that. And if it wasn't for this episode, we would have been set up for 15-18. So, you know, you know, nothing wrong with the episode. Just looking back on it now with hindsight. Mm. No. Again, we can now call this my top is almost your top. So we've got like matching bottoms, matching tops and bottoms reversed. So mine is Mint Condition.
Okay. I'm glad.
Yeah. And like nihilism is it's obviously it's Dean focused. So I can see why that leaps into Sandra's mind, whereas I'm just like funny bloopers. but I think it's because it's been a very long time since I've watched the later seasons of Supernatural, but I did rewatch Mint Condition for Halloween last year. Me and Sandra watched it and did an episode on it. And I just like, I'm not
it like,
makes
like
you I
realize like, oh, I do like, you know, I need to get it. I need to get back into it. Even though there's some stinkers, there's some really good episodes.
Yeah,
you know?
It is. And I like that episode. Like we broke it down in its entirety for Halloween last year. Like I'm not like an enormous like cult fan of like 80s slasher movies or anything, but I think there's some humor to be gained from them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the whole the episode aping all of those slasher tropes and Dean's absolute hype over the model, which I detest things like that. They creep me out so much. And the Sam and the girl, it's just a really good episode. I really like it. So that was my top of 14. But again, sort of kicking from 12 onwards, kind of struggled, to be honest. There weren't that many great episodes in the later seasons, or episodes that stood out to me as going, oh yeah, this, you know?
Yeah, I mean, those were the only two episodes that made it in my top from 14 was Mint Condition and Nihilism. And I'm trying to think. I think I have...
Oh, I had Unhuman Nature in my top. What was that? Dean Parenting. Oh, no. Unhuman Nature, Dean Parenting Jack, also bloopers. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know if that counts because my love of that episode
is blooper dependent.
Licking a battery to see if it's still good. Yeah. That's such a fucking good blooper, though. Ruth is going to stab you.
I think that's when we have to say, because we've done this before, like sometimes it's how an episode makes us feel, but sometimes it's like, say, a blooper, or sometimes it's like mm-hmm. how hot the boys are in a certain particular, like it's just like there's all these other factors that kind of make something mediocre rise to the top a little bit more. And there's, you know, storyline, maybe not, but I do remember that. I think that's when like Dean's teaching Jack how to drive, and it's a cute scene, and like they're fishing. And so there's like that, but I don't remember what else happens.
No, that's not much else happens in that episode. That's all something to do with Jack's soul or his powers, and he's dying. Oh. And Dean's like, well, better take him out and teach him how to be a man. And he teaches him like to drive the car, and they have like a good day.
He has to go to the hospital in the beginning, maybe, right? Like, I think that might be it. Okay.
Yeah. There's a blooper for that one as well.
Yeah. Yeah. They all pile on top of him or something in the hospital. Yeah.
He collapses at the desk, and then Jared's like, dog pile. Yeah. But no, and then they come back, and Jack collapses again, and Ruth comes, and she's doing her like.
Did that man not get sued?
I think
do they all have to sign like waivers? Like, we understand what's happening when we work with Jared.
It must be in the requirements if you're going to be like a regular on Supernatural. Not if you're just going to be like a guest actor, but if you're going to be a season regular, you must have to sign something that says, I accept that I may be dogpiled by 220 pounds of padalecki at any given moment.
My lord. Man,
the bloopers from that episode is so fucking good, though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh god, Ruth as well. She's so little.
Yeah,
she's so mad.
Yeah, she is.
The other episode from 14 that made it out of my top 10 was the Scar, and that's purely for the scene at the beginning with the grief beard. That's just, it's just a beard, Dean.
Yeah,
just fucking know what you want from me. I'm a simple person.
Oh,
but
gosh.
It's harder to find truly standout episodes, especially for me who hasn't watched the later seasons in a long time.
Yeah.
You know, Sandra's watched, like, this would be like, what is this year? Like, fifth go around now?
So it's probably technically my fifth, but I probably only consider it. Wait, no, it might be more than that. It might be my sixth. I don't even know anymore. It might be my sixth, but I would Sandra's probably only consider it five because, like I said, the first time I watched it, I fell asleep through most episodes, so I really don't count that like my first go round as like an official watch. So maybe five. Yeah. This might be like my fifth full like through watching.
Anything after maybe seven or eight, I've only watched once. Nobody come at me in the comments. So much. I'm in seven at the moment.
A lot of people have like certain things where, you know, you just kind of stop. I guess for me, it's like if I start it, I kind of just go through the. I go through the motions of finishing it. But I have gotten better now. Like, you know, I'll just kind of occasionally, it's usually like I consider it research, you know, if I'm writing something that, you know, I'll go back and I'll watch an episode or I'll watch an episode a few times or scenes a few times. So I kind of give myself the, it's okay, even though it's not in order, you can watch this episode. Like you can give yourself this little treat. Like we'll do that for Christmas. We'll do that for Halloween, like, you know, like we'll watch like certain episodes that, you know, we want to watch for whatever reason. So yeah, it's a little bit better.
No, see, if watching Mint Condition last year really upset me because I was like, it's out of all the fuck.
Okay.
But yeah, so it is.
So wait, where are you at? Are you still at seven?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you Why, stop?
Have you lapped me now? I'm on episode.
I'm in eight.
The next episode I need to watch is 7-Eleven Adventures in Babysitting.
Okay. Started season 8. I think we just watched the Blood Brothers one with like Benny, where Dean goes and helps him with the vampire, his like vampire nest family. Like he goes back and stuff like that. So ready to hear the Sam getting pissed off about Benny in that next episode. Hey, we got you through season six. I think you can eventually get through season seven.
You might have to stop bugging me like you do, Dreamer, and be like, did you watch an episode today?
Yeah.
Because I say to her all the time, I'm like, just watch one episode a day. Just one episode. Well, like, it's not even that bad. And then I don't do it myself.
I just want you to get through the, I think there's that internal, like, you just stop situation. And I mean, you if you keep watching season seven, you get to see Sam in the hospital. And you really like that. I so like you have to that. Keep watching it to get to that. So, yeah. So, again, how do you watch Supernatural? Do you still watch Supernatural if you're listening? Do you have a method of watching Supernatural? You just watch whatever the fuck you want to watch, whatever the fuck you want to watch it.
Are you like more like me, or are you more like Dreamer? Or I think Sandra kind of comes in the middle because she can like take notes and shit. So I can't watch anything. This is not Supernatural exclusive. I can't watch any TV or movies or anything unless I am doing something. I have to be debuffed by hand. So I have to be like knitting or stitching, or I'm playing Sims in the background, or I'm coloring on my iPad. I have to be doing something. I cannot just sit and watch something because my brain goes and wanders off. So I have to debuff like the like hyperactive part of my brain. And then it goes, okay, we can pay attention. This has not worked out great for me because I miss things. So my rewind button gets a lot of love, but that is the only way I can watch. Dream is completely separate to me. She can have nothing else going on. No distractions. She has to just sit and look and watch the script. She can't be doing anything else. Like, she'll say to me, I'm going to go watch an episode, and I won't hear from her for 40 minutes. And then she comes back and she's like, oh my God, this and this and this. Like, she can't text. She can't do anything. So, you know, are you more like, which side of that kind of spectrum do you lay on? Let us know. Do you jump around? Do you watch in order? Can you watch? Do you need to be debuffed by hand? You know, what is... How do you consume your Supernatural media?
Yeah, be interesting to find out. The last season.
Now, before you say anything, I did not include the last episode because I kind of figured we'd established that that was a law unto itself and it didn't get included in any tops and bottoms.
No, and we've already had a thorough discussion on it. We're not going there.
We're not going back again.
So, season 15, I could not include my absolute bottom, which was Drag Me Away From You. The heck was that? Like, I don't even remember what I wrote about it, but
it's probably something along the lines of Monster of the Week
episode. We've got four episodes to wrap up a series. And yeah, let's have Sam and Dean keep secrets.
Oh God, I remember we were all watching, like me, Sandra, and our buddy Dandelion Dreaming, we were all watching season 15 live, and we're all in different time zones. So it'd be going into the group chat and going, okay, I watched it. And then you'd wait for the other two to come up. And I remember all three of us being like, what the fuck was that? What is that? It's four episodes to the end. What the fuck is that? We were all so mad.
Yeah.
I was so mad about that episode.
Yeah. And I think this is, I don't know. I feel like the pacing thing just kind of got away from writers, creators, or whatever. I feel like under Kripke, I feel like things were tighter or paced better. I just feel like that's a thing. I think if you watch seasons 1 through 5, you get a different vibe of how it's laid out in a way. And I think that kind of gets lost after season 5. So my bottom for this iteration of our rankings is Raising Hell, and that's episode 2. This was an episode... You could have easily put this storyline, plotted it in with either the season premiere or the following episode, The Rupture. There could have been a short conversation between a few characters that could have taken care of 30 minutes of this. And looking back at it now, I'm like, okay, this was kind of the season where they were bringing a lot of things back. So maybe they needed to find a way to bring Kevin back and remedy that whole thing while also killing off Ketch. But it just felt like it was so unnecessary. And also, they're fighting ghosts in sunlight. And that is just not scary. And it's just very silly. It just, to me, it was like a waste of an episode. Just like I feel Drag Me Away From You was a waste of an episode. This was a waste of an episode for the final season. When you only had 20 episodes anyway. Technically, maybe only 19 if you don't consider 20. So you only had really 19 episodes to wrap up sort of like the season, right? And you're doing this, the very second episode. I think that that's when I got the feeling watching it where I was like, the show might be running on fumes. Not everyone's giving it their all, you know, and this should have been an epic final season. Like there could have been so many things that could have happened. And again, this happens with a lot of shows, the final season, you know, I think it's just like, you know, as a fan, you want to see all of these things and sometimes it doesn't happen the way that you want. So you look back on it and you go, they could have done this. They could have done that. Hindsight, 2020, all that stuff. So I just kind of like, I didn't like it. I just didn't like it. It was just really bad. It was a really bad episode.
Okay, that's fine. I will say, as someone, I wouldn't consider it a phobia, but as someone who does have a significant fear of clowns, John Wayne Gacy, the ghost of, coming at me, it wouldn't matter if it was in fucking pitch black or broad sunlight. I will piss my pants either way. That is terrifying. Yeah, the sunlight does not make it less. Yeah, but I do see what you're saying. Yeah. I do.
I mean, I remember that scene with like them fall like in the neighborhood and like Sam and Cass and the mom and the kid. And it's just like there's some, I really do believe that there are, I'm sure there's horror movies that do that and do it well. I just didn't find this to be at all like, it just seemed odd.
I think the problem with that was there's obviously a lot of scope to play with. If you go, all of the souls in hell have been released, there's a lot of bad guys to pick from.
But they didn't even do that well. Like, that's the thing. They could have done that well and they didn't.
But then I suppose there's then like, could you have had someone play Hitler? No, probably not. Stalin? No, probably not. Pol Pot? No, probably not. Any other, like, you know, seriously, evil dictators from recent history? No. So you got to be picky. You got to be choosy. And you've kind of got to make it accessible as well, because not everyone is a weird serial killer freak like I am. So if you pick some, like, you could pick some really famous USA serial killer and someone watching in the UK is going to go, who the fuck is that? So you're going to be like, okay, Jack the Ripper, that he's internationally infamous. You know, John Wayne Gacy, again, internationally infamous. So there's a lot of potential, but then when you get down to it, it's probably quite hard to pick who are you going to focus on as like the worst of the worst.
So my thing was too, like, I feel like the people that they were focusing on, like the baddies from season one or the ghosts or like whatever they were taking care of, like they used the woman in white, they used Bloody Mary, you can't use the same actors, right? There's no way. But it's so obvious it's not the same actors. Or if they did use the same actors aged. So my thing is, why not use Hookman? Why not use any, like, you could have even updated a Wendigo and made it a little bit better, or go all out campy and make it like really bad, you know?
But they don't go to hell though.
I know, but like my thought was like, okay, you could have done Hookman, right? You could have done Hookman. Hookman could have gone to hell. So like things where you could have sort of like the costuming or whatever could have covered up, like John Wayne Gacy, I think the clown was scary. Like I think that was, but then that was like kind of just what, like just from like the season before that they like kind of from Lebanon, I think they kind of like brought that back. So I feel like they're, I will go through season one and be like, they could have done this one, anything that didn't require the actors to be. So this just does not work. The woman in white didn't work.
No,
Bloody Mary didn't work. So there's things that they just didn't do right.
There was a lot of potential there and it would have been difficult to navigate, but they could have got a lot more out of, oh my God, all the souls of hell have been released than they actually did. And I will say, I think Jack the Ripper is a very dated reference. Yes, it would ping in pretty much most countries. But it's been a minute. It's not exactly relevant anymore, you know? But then actually when I think about it, I'm struggling to think of UK serial killers for the sake of argument that actually would resonate with the US audience. Myra Hindley, Rose West come to mind, but well, whether they crossed the pond.
What do you think they could have used from here, I think would have been in bad taste anyway. So I don't think they would have done that either. It's almost like you have to make it really old to give it that distance.
But Gacy's not that old.
No, Gacy's not that old. I don't, but I think like they could have done other stuff that would have been really bad.
No, but so. Like if you're gonna go down the route of Gacy, go down the like do Ed Gein, do Dahmer, do BTK killer, the toy box killer. You know, if you're gonna go down like US infamous serial killers, go down that route. You know, don't just pick one. Like, okay, John Wayne Gacy had a thing, and everyone was like, mm-hmm. "Oh, the clown!" Like, yeah, all right, but mm-hmm. like, Dahmer's look is very distinctive. Ed mm-hmm. Gein, not so much. But if you're gonna go there, fucking go there.
Yeah,
you know, Aileen Wuornos, for example, like, go there.
Yeah, see, they could have done like, okay, I'm literally looking at season one. So like Asylum, they could have done the doctor, right? Like the doctor that, like, you know, they could have done.
Yeah,
could they have done? Was Scarecrow?
No, it was a god.
Okay, so that wouldn't work. They couldn't do the car. That wouldn't
We've gone different places here. Sandra's gone. Benders. Look at all these bad
they
guys.
Could have brought the Benders. They could have brought the Benders guys back that they took out. Come on, you would have loved that.
I would have loved that. Sandra's like, look at all the past bad guys we could have had. And I'm like, look at all the real life bad guys we could have had. We've been very different places with
this. The crazy girl from the picture in Providence, the little girl. Like you could literally probably do that and have that work. Again, where you kind of lean into the costuming, the makeup, and still have it be. I've got this because when I think Woman in White, I have a clear vision of that actress in the very first pilot episode. Same thing with Bloody Mary. Those two don't marry up with what you see in season 15. It just doesn't. So they could have even gone
could we not have? Oh no, they're supposed to be ghosts. I was like, could we not have brought back some like maybe more infamous demons?
Yeah, it wouldn't have worked.
You know, but that wouldn't have worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was a waste. It was a waste of a concept, waste of an episode.
Whichever way you go, whether they should have brought back old villains or they should have done more cultural in modern culture, you know, like
historical culture, sort of like well a situation known, like generational and stuff like that. People,
well-known serial killers and things like that. Whichever way you choose, whichever way you think they should have gone, or if they should have gone in a completely different direction and you're like, no, they should have been aliens, you know, whatever. There was a lot of potential there and a lot of it was missed, I think. Mm-hmm. So yes, I understand where you're at with that, Sandra.
All right. And then for my top, Last Holiday, episode 14. Sweet and Sad has some cute and funny moments that made me remember why I love Supernatural. And poor Mrs. Butters, who I did not, I at first, like upon rewatching, I have more sympathy for her. You know, every time I watch it, I have a little more sympathy. For Mrs. Butters.
She wasn't bad. She was doing what she thought was right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, probably I think this was the first episode that they aired like right after, like when COVID like shut everything down. And then I think this was like the start of like the second half. And this was like, this was the thing everybody was like ready for. And I'm kind of really glad that it started out on this episode. Cause I feel like it was kind of just like, it was sweet. It was cute. It was kind of all of those things. Still a little bit angsty, but not super angsty. And, you know, you kind of get to see, again, I like to see Dean. I like to see domestic Dean, and you get to see him in there and things he does with Jack. Just so funny when they're like stuck and they're like locked up. And he's just like, he sees what happens when he tries to do the cuffs. And it's like, all of a sudden he gets this look and you're like, oh, he's going to do something bad.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And I don't know. I just, for a really like up and down season, I think it kind of like, it makes you feel soft for the boys again. And you get to see them have things that you kind of wanted them to always have. Truncated, they still get to have it. So I think that's sweet.
No, that's it's interesting actually how a Dean person and a Sam person views that episode, because I view Last Holiday very differently.
Yeah.
It's not a bad episode. It would never end up on any bottom list, but it makes my heart hurt a little bit. Just watching Sam not know what to do with all of these things because they are so unfamiliar to him, and that I will never ever get that scene out of my head, whether they've just come in the door and they're sort of on the balcony at the top of the stairs and it's all Christmassy and Dean's like, oh my, and Sam's like, what the fuck,
I know, but he's so excited, he like taps his hands and he taps the rail.
That's it. If Dean is your Blobbo, you're like, oh my God, this is the best. Look how happy it is. And if Sam's your Blobbo, you're like, oh, maybe. Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will say, it starts out like that. But when they're like in the montage a little bit later, where they're both like dashing past
his butter, and
she holds out the lunch bags and he's just as hyped as Dean.
Sam's like, oh, lunch bag. And he's like, yeah, he's just so excited when he gets it.
He adjusts. And I, you know, that episode would never be a bottom in any bottom list for me because I spent 15 seasons going, I want them to be loved and have comfort.
Yeah.
And I could never, when it's given to them, be like, no, but it's not the way I want it to be.
And I kind of feel like it's so great that Mrs. Butters is so unconditionally like, no, nobody's going to hurt my boys. Like, that's just like,
yeah. It
hits you. Like, this is kind of what you always wanted him. You want them to have, but then
it's taken away at the end.
But then this is what happens if it is strictly unconditional. There's no way to think beyond.
There's no rational.
There's not a lot of rational thought to look at what you perceive as the enemy or the danger, you know, outside of that. And very black and white, you know, that mm-hmm. she was sort of like seeing Jack when she knew the details about it. That, again, I think you see the growth in, I think, both Sam and Dean and how you can see beyond, you can get into the gray area and make mm-hmm. decisions. Based off of time and interaction and that sort of thing. So
it's an interesting episode. It's a good episode.
Yeah.
It's good. Just a fucking scene on the balcony. This makes me sad.
I know, but he's
no, it's totally fine. It's totally fine.
I can't help it. He's the happiest little boy I've ever seen. For a 40-year-old man, he's the happiest little boy.
You know what, though? He remembers Christmases, and God damn it, he deserves a fucking Christmas. He remembers before his whole life was imploded, and he deserves that. I do not hold that against Dean or anybody who wants to have a Dean ever.
Goodness. And then knowing, once you know how the show ends,
I would imagine it takes on a different kind of.
It does. Yeah, it does.
Alrighty, my bottoms. So my bottom is also Drag Me Away From You. And my notes, probably very similar to Sandra. My notes are, we're 4 episodes from the end and you pull out a fucking monster of the week. I'll die mad about that. Like I said, when Sandra was discussing it in the group chat and we were all like, what the fuck is this? What the hell? So, yeah.
But not only that, it's just, and we've talked about it, but the portrayal of, to me, the relationship between Sam and Dean in the beginning of that episode just kind of doesn't ring true.
Yeah, the flashback is weird.
They kind of make up for it towards the end, but it's like, it just doesn't, I mean, I get it. He probably doesn't, if he doesn't want Sam to go anywhere, he's going to probably say things to make Sam think, you're not going anywhere. You're staying with us. This is how your life is. Like, sort of like how I'm sure he was indoctrinated, like, you know, brought into this is how life is. He's hoping that Sam is going to be along for the ride.
That's not a vibe I got from any other flashback between them in the whole show. I never got the vibe that Dean put Sam down.
And that's the thing. Like, I think he would have found a way to do it. Like, he would have sort of like done it in a way that, you know, not where he's like putting him down. Yeah, the putting him down.
No, it probably would have been like, I don't think for a second that Dean didn't try and implant the idea.
They ragged each other. And I'm sure he said things to Sam all the time, you know, as an older brother does, but not like.
It was mean. That. Didn't like it. No.
Yeah.
Like, I am sure, like, consciously or unconsciously, he did try and plant the idea that this was their life in Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, maybe even it never even occurred to him that Sam would go, because didn't the vibe that we all got was like Sam kept very fucking quiet about applying to colleges and didn't say anything until he got into Stanford. And that's when he had the fight with John.
Mm.
So for like to have Sam be like kind of openly talking about plans and things like that and have Dean be so fucking harsh on him.
Those flashbacks,
that memory, whatever, really didn't vibe with any other flashback that we've seen of them. I didn't like it. And again, it's 4 episodes before the end and you're pulling out, I'm like, what the fuck? What's the wasting? like, I was genuinely like, what a fucking waste of a week and an episode. What the fuck? Yeah. There's four episodes left. What are you doing? Yeah. So I didn't. Yeah, no, I also didn't like that. So my top. Right. This was actually on my bottoms list last time. Mm-hmm. And I think when we ranked these, we weren't even one. I think it was, we did these like a few months after we started the podcast. So I posted about this on Tumblr the other day. It turns out talking at length about a Soul character for like 2+ years really changes you as a person, mm-hmm. and changes your perception of that character and, you know, what you think you know about them versus what you actually know about them. So I discuss this on Tumblr, but my top is actually The Rupture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's controversial. I'm aware of that. And it did. Mm-hmm. I think it ranked like 4 in my bottoms when we did them last mm-hmm. time. Let me just check.
It was in my bottom.
It was number 2. It was number 2. It missed out on the bottom of the bottom stop by Beat the Devil from 13. Dean mm-hmm. would never leave Sam behind. I will die mad about that episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why it isn't my bottom of 13, because I couldn't, but I will die mad about that episode.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken so many in-depth looks at Sam's and also looks at Rowena. And, you know, you just learn, and talking to different people on the podcast as well, and how they interpret, you know, the characters and the ending and things. I've kind of fallen in love with that ending for Rowena.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only woman that got to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I think that's what we called her episode, actually, The Woman Who Lived.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she had an arc. She wasn't brought in like as a diversity hire, like Charlie's character was. You know, she wasn't a damsel of the week that needed saving.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't Mary fucking Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was attached to the boys.
More than a plot device, I think. Yeah.
But she was separate and she had her own story going on.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back when she'd seen her like death book or whatever the fuck they were called, or Billy had said, whoever it was, Billy had said to her, like, the only way you die is by Sam Winchester.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And like seeing how that had affected her as well. And I just, she's the only woman in the show that wasn't, as Sandra says, a plot device or a stick to beat Dean and Sam over the head with, or, you know, a diversity hire. Like,
I mean, you could say she was brought in to do that to Crowley, but I think she changed and evolved.
So her being able to choose her ending, she didn't die for a pointless reason. Like, Charlie's death was pointless and I would die mad about it. Mary's death was great. You know, I won't die mad about that. But, you know, she got to choose, and there's this sense of, it's almost the beginning of the end in people accepting their fate.
Mm.
Because when we look at the final episode, which we are not going to discuss, fate is accepted there. It hurts and nobody wants it to be like that, but they stop raging against it.
Mm.
You know, there's there's no do not go gentle into that good night. They stop and they go, okay, if this is what it's meant to be, then this is what it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this with Rowena is the first step in that. She's fought to live her whole life and the whole time we've seen her. And then this is the moment when she goes, no, this is, I choose this. You know, this is now my choice.
Mm.
And yeah. I love that Sam gets to say goodbye. Because, like, my headcanon will always be that they were banging behind the shelves in the library forever. Sam Wiener will die on this hill.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets to, there's real, I don't know if I go so far as to call it love. I don't think Rowena loves anything except herself. But real, like, relationship there, real meaning behind their relationship. They are more than just reluctant allies or the enemy of the end. My enemy is my friend.
I think the connection, like you said, the connection that they have over Lucifer, I think, brings them together. And I think she does admire, I think she sees in Sam, there's this inherent affinity, you know, to magic that, you know, if he has the chance and opportunity, could probably be really exceptional, you know, like at it and stuff like that.
So yeah.
I think it's a mentor mentee almost in a weird way.
Yeah.
Situation. Yeah.
Yeah. But I like that he gets to say goodbye. And you can tell that they both, again, I don't think she's capable of loving anything, but you can tell there's care there. Yeah. There's feeling, there's emotion. Mm. And also, past the actual knife in the gut, right? That is so fucking Rowena.
Mm.
Like, what else could she want on this earth? Literally nothing. She has everything. So mm-hmm. she's like, no. I will sacrifice myself and then I'll become the queen of hell. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fucking great. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah. So it's, you know.
It's like she still had the end game. I think you see where Crowley gets it. You know what I mean? Like,
She's always one, like, she's always one or two thoughts ahead. So, mm-hmm. you know, oh, this is this lovely selfless act as she's going to kill herself to, you know, drag all these, like, bring all these souls back into hell and close the rift. It's all going to be nice. But in her head, she's like, and then I'll become the queen and it'll be fucking sweet. Yeah. You know, so it's all this kind of like emotion and, you know, like this closure that Sam and Dean so very rarely get. And Sam gets with this woman that he truly has grown to have a connection with.
Yeah.
But then also you're like, you fucking go. You go. You get that hell. You've earned it, motherfucker. Because I think if you kill yourself and sacrifice yourself to drag all the millions of souls back into hell, you deserve the throne. Like, you've done a good, bad, questionable thing. What? Like, it's yours. You deserve it, you know? I feel like you get to lord it up around hell and go, excuse me, I am the best. So, it's very layered. It's very nuanced. But overall, even without the kind of, like, you know, the next step of ruling hell, I think it's a really fitting goodbye for Rowena, and that it's after she was so worried that Sam was going to be the one to kill her, and how could she, you know, get out of this, wiggle away, how could she change her fate? And in the end, just because it's him wielding the knife doesn't mean it's him. It's her choice in the end, and I'm fully with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, controversial, I appreciate, because we all miss Rowena, but I have fallen in love with that ending for her.
I think knowing, because I mean, I know, I just, like, taking it at face value, like seeing her die, I think just kind of, like, really, you know, makes it difficult. And but then knowing what happens emotional. After, and then knowing what happens after, again, once you get more of the, you see what happens, then it maybe it's kind of, you see the whole through line makes it better, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's, but kind again, of like reverse for you in other situations, which is very, very true and valid as well. So yeah, it's.
Yeah. And it's like, I think it kind of, it's not quite the same, but it kind of hits similar to Bobby in that at least there's a goodbye. Because so many people ripped from them with not a chance, like Dean and John never got a chance to speak.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then it all happened and they never, they never got a chance to speak about it. And it's like similar for Sam, but obviously Sam got to speak to John while Dean was unconscious, but so many people just ripped from them without a chance to say.
Yeah.
Anything. And then it just gives me similar Bobby vibes that you wish it wasn't happening for sure, but you're kind of comforted that you go, okay, well, at least they had that last moment. And I think it's really fitting that it was only Sam and Rowena as well.
No, it's
just,
it's good. Yeah.
I like it.
I'm glad that we like I said, I think I was kind of worried when we were saying we were going to do this ranking this way too. I was like, aren't we just going to be ranking the same stuff over and over again? But then I was like, no, because, like, you're digging in even deeper, you know, into it by season. And like you said, the more time we've got and where we're at, I think too, looking back at the episodes, I think gives us different viewpoints on it, which is really nice. I really do appreciate that. So. This has been fun.
It's been
ranking
good.
Rehab. What? No.
Nah, we're good.
Doing that. I think
we're
going to
carry on.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But yeah, I guess we're now done with our trilogy. If we come up with something else to rank, we'll let you know.
If, like, we don't have, like, four new things on the recording list, like, oh, we should rank this and this and this and this. So
but I guess, let us know what your tops and bottoms were, how they differed, mm-hmm. how you watch Supernatural. That yeah. would be an interesting answer to one to that question. And yeah, anything else you could think of about seasons 11 to 15 that you think maybe we missed or share your thoughts?
Did your favorite episode not make any lists? You know, let us know.
Let us know why. So if you want to, you can reach out to us by emailing us at idlingindieimpala@gmail.com. You can comment on Spotify and use the Q&A section to share your thoughts. All our contact details are on our website, idlingindieimpala.com. Go check it out.
Don't forget to like, comment, share, follow, and subscribe wherever you access your podcast, but especially if you are watching or listening on YouTube. Likes and comments and subscriptions, all that kind of engagement really helps us with the YouTube algorithm. All hail its benevolence. And if you are just listening to us on audio, on Spotify, or anywhere else that you access your podcast, leave us a review, y'all. You don't have to leave us words, just like 5 stars. We're awesome. We deserve 5 stars. We will acquire a digital goat and care for it for the rest of its digital life. In your honor. Okay, the last time I did this, I said that we got a real goat and Sandra started pointing out a lot of fucking problems. So it's been downgraded to a digital goat, but not for sacrifice purposes, for love and cherishment purposes only. Mm-hmm. As always, in the description, check out the causes that we are championing. So from me, I have 2 LGBTQ plus charities, one based in the UK and one based in the USA. They are like talking counselor charities. So if you need to reach out to speak to someone, if you are in crisis, if you do not have a safe space around you where you can talk to people, that is what they are there for. So check them out. From Sandra, we have charities about prioritizing your mental health and thriving, not just surviving after abuse. So again, kind of similar, reach out, you know, find ways to sort of help your brain process things and keep yourself healthy. And I would imagine reach out to actually talk to somebody if you need to. It's 2024. Yay, election year. Woo. Hi, bye, 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 bye. Not fucking really. So I'm 98% sure it's an election year in the UK as well, but that's not particularly as relevant. None of the people trying to be prime minister are going to blow up the world if they get in. So US election. Sandra has provided you with American Civil Liberties Union and vote.gov. to go keep yourself informed and updated on any kind of rule changes, you know, any ID or registration requirements. Make sure to take your own bottle of water because I'm pretty sure it's fucking illegal to give you some in Georgia, I think it is. So, you know, keep yourself informed, keep yourself appraised and up to date with what is going on. And to bastardize the Rocky Horror Picture Show and the Tenacious D cover of the song Time Warp. It's a jump to the left, not a step to the right. We really don't care what blue you vote for. Just vote blue, please. We really can't let him back in the White House. He'll blow us all up. It'll be a real fucking problem. And if he blows us all up, what are you going to do on a Tuesday? You know? You're just going to have to, like, live your fucking nuclear wasteland Tuesday. And that's going to be sad. We won't be here to help you anymore. Sandra is now going frantically, scribbling down timestamps, going, fucking hell, Casey. So yeah, voting information Sandra has provided if you're in the US. If you're in the UK, I don't know, just like, there's no good party for me to tell you to vote for. Don't vote Tory. I guess vote strategically is the best advice I can give you in the UK, because voting for anything other than Labour is just handing a vote to the Tories anyway. But you know, take a look. Maybe you live in one of those very few places where the Liberal Democrats have a chance, or maybe you're based in Wales, Scotland, and Northern Ireland, and you have political parties that you can vote for there. Alrighty. And as always, we very much hope that by the time this episode goes out, these charities will not be needed, but as it stands at the moment, they very much are. So we are championing, spotlighting, highlighting any other adjective that means to draw attention to charities that are on the ground, both in the Ukraine and in Gaza. That is World Central Kitchen and Doctors Without Borders. As the name suggests, World Central Kitchen is helping to provide food, and Doctors Without Borders is helping to provide medical care, not just in the Ukraine and Gaza, but in conflict zones all over the world. We are not particularly interested in the politics of either of these wars or which side of the line anybody falls down on. This is humanitarian only. There are people in the Ukraine that are still cut off by Russia's unlawful invasion and the conflict thereafter. They are cut off from basic supplies. You know, they are starving, they are dying. The same in Gaza. Palestine is not at war with Israel. Hamas is at war with Israel. Palestine is just the innocent bystander that is being bombed to fucking hell. So again, not interested in politics, don't really care which side of the line you support. People are starving. They lack access to basic supplies like food, water, and medicine, and they're dying. And they didn't ask for war. This is not what they want. So we are just drawing attention to these charities that are on the ground there, doing whatever they can to help people that are affected in those nations. Now, with World Central Kitchen, Doctors Without Borders, and any other of the charities that we have listed here, if you can help them out financially, that would be incredible. We practice what we preach here at Idling in the Impala. We have made donations to both World Central Kitchen and Doctors Without Borders. But if you cannot or are unwilling to help out financially, that is totally fine. Just sharing the links around is one of the best things that you can do. Just drawing attention to what is happening in these places. The news cycle moves really fast in the West. And just because the Ukraine and Gaza are not in the headlines right now does not mean that the atrocities taking place there have stopped taking place. So sharing the links around, drawing attention to them, just, you know, keeping them in the social media spotlights is so effective and helps more than you can even fathom. So if you can't help financially, amazing, we'll be eternally grateful. But if you can't, just share the links around. And that is also fucking incredible. So with that, we will say thank you very much for joining us in the backseat. Let us know how you consume Supernatural. Did we hit any of your particular tops and bottom episodes? You know, did we miss anything that you think deserved a top or bottom spot? And we will see you next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.